D Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as we are every Monday at 1 o'clock by our main man, Teron Davenport. Hello, Teron. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
So, training camp's a month from today, I want to say, July 23rd.
Yeah.
So we are nearing the start of training camp. So far, so close yet so far away. And I'm thinking about positions that the Titans could make additions to over the next month. I think a popular choice among Titans fans would be cornerback, depending on the situation regarding L'Jarius Sneed. Derek and I were talking about this last week. The free agent cornerback market, I would say, is fairly robust. There are a lot of well-known cornerbacks who are on the market. Now they all come with their own flaws. But I'm wondering if L'Jarius Sneed's status is up in the air. Are there any free agent cornerbacks, that you see who could be a fit for this team?
No, I don't see any that they need to look at or that would be a fit. And the thing you got to remember is Daryl Baker, he was a solid corner for them last year, you know, in the absence of Chidobe Awuzie and L'Jarius Sneed. So he wasn't really around as far as on the field. He was there, but he wasn't on the field during minicamp and OTAs. So that's somebody that will help bolster the cornerback group. And so in essence, it's like getting a guy because you're getting him back.
Yesterday, Teron, in the AFC South in Jacksonville, Travis Hunter signed his four-year contract with the Jaguars, the first non-quarterback not drafted first overall to get his signing bonus entirely up front. As you watch from afar, Travis Hunter with the Jacksonville Jaguars, ultimately, where do you see him making a bigger impact in his rookie season, on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball?
I think he's going to make an impact on both sides, honestly. I would probably say optically it'll be more on offense, because when you score touchdowns, like, that is more visible than anything else. But I think he's going to be a pretty solid corner. I just can't wait to see Alec Iomanner go down there and go against him. That's going to be fun, because you know what happened when Colorado and Stanford played. You know, he dropped 250+.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport. Teron, we had a conversation earlier in the show about cities with multiple teams in them, but that haven't won a championship. And obviously Buffalo here in Nashville, you got some other cities. But then we broke it down into teams. Basically, you're looking at the Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans, the Carolina Panthers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Which one of these teams outside, because we know if you're just looking at it, the Buffalo Bills would be the team closest to a championship, right, that hasn't gotten one. Now, they have one in the old AFL days, but that's back then. We're talking about, you know, when the merger of the NFL. Which one of these teams outside of the Bills are closer to that goal? Is it Carolina? Is it the Titans? Or is it Jacksonville?
That's a good question. I think they're all kind of neck and neck. And you know what's really interesting about that, D-Mix? All three of them got number one picks as their quarterbacks. So I guess it's going to come down to that race and how they supplement it. I couldn't pick one over the other, honestly. They all three have their issues, but I mean, we're here in Nashville, so I'll say the Titans, but I mean, that's one of those things where you're picking the prettiest pick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That, now, when you're looking at the Titans, obviously we know that, you know, the areas that they need to improve in, more specifically the offensive line, and to pick up sacks. But what needs to happen outside of that for this team to really and truly compete, not just for the AFC South, because I think the AFC South is a gettable division, considering that the Houston Texans hasn't taken this huge leap. They've kind of taken a step back considering what they did two seasons ago. But how close do you think this team, you know, this Titans team, or what do you think needs to happen in order for all of this to come in place outside of the quarterback? Because we know the quarterback needs to play well, but what are some other things that need to happen?
I think the biggest thing is they need game changers, right? Mm-hmm. You look up and down the roster, you don't see someone. I mean, Simmons, they're going to game plan for him. But outside of Jeffrey Simmons, you don't really see anybody where it's like, okay, listen, this dude is a monster. We got to stop him. You don't really see that. And Calvin Ridley is a very good player. Don't get it twisted. But I just – they need more impact players that can literally change the game anytime they touch the football. And they don't have that.
Now, do you think the Titans were, because obviously Zaire Alexander signed with the Baltimore Ravens on a one-year deal, and he has dealt with some injuries there in Green Bay, but the Titans, meaning the Baltimore Ravens, thought highly enough to, even though the injuries, they went out and got him, because they do, in theory, have a stacked secondary, and he's just an added addition. But do you think the Titans even, do you think they were close to even bringing Zaire in to, you know, do a physical or anything else, or was he just a guy that was never on their radar?
No, he wasn't on the radar. I think you look at that whole match between he and the Ravens, mm-hmm. that was something that I think was going to happen. As soon as there was doubt that he would be back in Green Bay, Baltimore was the place. You know, he and Lamar Jackson, they went to school together. You know, you look at the mentality, the hands-on, aggressive approach that they have on defense. It's a perfect match, and that's what it was going to be. I tell you, interesting, the Titans were heavy on Quincy Riley out of Louisville, who is very similar to Jai Alexander. So the skill set, I think they believe fits, but I just don't know that the veteran and the price tag and the unreliability really matched.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, as you take a look at the defensive end market, this is something I think we're all curious about with T.J. Watt and Hendrickson in Cincinnati. How do you see that panning out? Do you think it will get resolved? They've got time, right? But these are sort of things you're wondering about, the changing of the market. And I guess where I'm going with that is, as I look down the road, you certainly hope that Jeffrey Simmons is a guy that you could keep around and is productive enough, but you have to weigh this, right? How the market's changing for defensive high-end defensive linemen, and then even maybe down the road to Vondre Sweat.
Yeah, I mean, I think the market for Sweat and Simmons is different from the market for Watt and Hendrickson.
Right, these inside as opposed to outside.
Edge rushers.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's going to be different. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a point in time where Devondre Sweat is probably going to earn a good contract. And really it comes down to the timing, right? And if this team is winning and these guys make big-time plays and going down the stretch and in the postseason, they're going to get paid accordingly. Look at Milton Williams, right? That guy from the Eagles, he made plays in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. You saw it with he and Andre Carter. You saw it with Jalen Carter, rather. You saw what they did, and he got paid accordingly. So it's all about timing, but they're going to have to figure some things out. So I think both of those guys are going to go ahead and warrant you know, good salaries. And then on top of that, imagine if Femi Oladejo comes through the way they believe he does. So that's going to be something else.
So are you getting pretty good vibes on him? I know there's only so much that we can say. We've even had some fun looking back through the years about people we had a good feeling on. It didn't really turn out very well. But you seem to be picking up some good optimism with him.
I am. And the thing that I like is the approach, right? I was very curious how they were going to do it because – I have a really good relationship with Brandon Graham. And I remember when he got to Philly, you know, he was this big-time prospect. They felt he was going to be a double-digit sack guy, everything like that. He had all the gifts, et cetera. And they asked him to drop back in covers. He had to do, you know, read more keys. And, you know, he couldn't just rush the passer. So it took him a little bit. But then 2016, Jim Schwartz got there and he's like, hey, man, just go get the quarterback. And that's when he started to blossom. So I was curious, okay, are they going to – what approach are they going to have with Oladejo? Because not only is he, you know, shifting positions, he's brand new at it. Like, 10 games in at it. But the thing that Femi told me that was really interesting, and I didn't even think about it, as a middle linebacker, you're used to seeing all the field. You're used to having all these things go on at once and having to do all these things and process all these things. So that should allow him to be able to have, although the viewpoint is different, to have a similar approach as an outside linebacker. Then on top of that, Denard Wilson, when I asked him about that, he was like, hey, man, we want to throw the sink at him, see what sticks, and whatever sticks, we'll go ahead and emphasize. So I think the approach is right.
Teron, we're looking around, like, we had a great discussion. I think we hit on it a little bit earlier about how close Buffalo has been, et cetera. As you look at the division, where would you put Houston right now, knowing that you got Buffalo? We know we got KC. We know you got Baltimore, mm-hmm. right? It's been the same group for the last 2, 3, 4 years. Is Houston, who maybe I think arguably took a little bit of a step back last year, still won the division, where do you think they are in the grand scheme of winning the AFC?
Houston to me is fourth, right? Houston is fourth. I think you have close between the top three, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore. But, man, watch out for those Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to do something this year. And you know what? I'll go ahead and say it. The Ravens are my pick to win it all this year.
Okay.
I think that's the team. Yeah, but you got Houston. They're still very talented.
So you put Houston fourth. You like Houston fourth after those three.
Right, and as I was saying, you got the two pass rushers. You got a legit quarterback. Nico Collins is continuing to ascend. They're a good team.
Now, quickly before we get you out of here, TD, I had a question about the inside backer position, because right now they have Cody Barton starting at the inside backer. Where does Cedric Gray fit in this? Because it's not like Cody Barton is this all-world player. Is he a good player, solid player? Yes.
Yeah.
But they're going to need more out of this linebacker position, in particular that inside linebacker position. So where does Cedric Gray fit in this?
Yeah, I love Cedric Gray's game. He's fun to watch. You go back and watch him at UNC. But right now, the way that they were doing it mostly was Cody Barton at Mike, James Williams at Will. And then when they bring Cedric Gray in, Barton bounces over to Will, and Gray is the mic. So that's kind of how it looks. But I think it's going to be a rotation. You can't forget Otis Reese, who's dealing, I believe it's an ankle he's dealing with, lingering from last year. So, you know, you got those guys that they'll all rotate in. And look, man, you go back and look at the end of the year, Otis Reese was making some plays. Mm-hmm. But, man, so was James Williams, you know, and even Cedric Gray. So they got a nice group of young players.
Teron, we lied. I have one more question for you. We discussed this a little bit last week, and I'd be curious for your opinion. So every year, well, seemingly every year, it did not happen this past season, there is a team that goes from worst in its division to first in its division. It happens a lot. The Titans find themselves in that situation again this season, along with the Bears, the Browns, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Saints, the Giants, and the 49ers. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Willie and Derek last week. Of those eight teams, which one or ones are you most confident that the Titans have better odds of finishing worst to first than?
Oh, okay. You flipped the question. All
yes.
right. I would say they have better chances than the Giants. So it was the Titans, Giants, 49ers, Bears, Saints, you said?
Bears, Browns, Raiders, Patriots, Saints, Giants, Niners, Titans.
So they got better chances than the Raiders.
You think, even with Geno Smith at quarterback?
Better chances than the Raiders.
Okay.
You know who's that quarterback for Kansas City?
That is true. That is true.
I would say the Browns.
Okay.
Because I believe the Ravens, and you always got to count the Bengals in there. So I would say all teams except for the Saints and 49ers, frankly.
Do you say that because and this was I think the reason why we chose some teams over others because of the division they're in. When you have to, when you're the Raiders, yeah, they may be good. Pete Carroll has proven he's a championship head coach. J. Geno Smith has proven that he's a damn good quarterback in this league, but they're in a division with the Chiefs, the Chargers, and then obviously themselves. So and then Denver, who's an up-and-coming team as well. So it's more so because of who's in your division than you as a team.
That's a very big factor, very big factor. And you look at the, you know, NFC South, it is what it is. Hey, it's a free-for-all, you know. So that's why I give the Saints a chance. And then you also, you look at the, the 49ers are the 49ers. They're still ultra-talented. Injuries and a bunch of stuff piled up on them last year. So those teams. But, I mean, like I said, the Giants, you got the Eagles and Cowboys, you know, and the Commanders. Don't forget about the Commanders with Jaden Daniels. And then you look at, you know, the Browns, like I said, you got the Steelers even. But more importantly, the Ravens and Bengals. It's best-case scenario for the Titans when you're going against, you know, the Texans and those other teams in the division. It's better for them than pretty much all the other bottom dwellers.
Quickly, Teron, are you buying the Patriots hype? There seems to be a ton around the Patriots this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that depends on Stephon Diggs. Like the defense is solid. You know it's going to be good under Terrell Williams and Mike Vrabel and them, but I want to see what the offense does. That's really the big thing. Do they have a playmaker like Stephon Diggs? Can he be that guy?
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us as he does every Monday on D-Maze, Fing, and Adonik. Teron, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go Mets.
Got to get out of this funk, TD. What's going on? Jeez. Let's get going.
No better day than the day.
That's right. It's a new day.
Thanks, Teron.
All right.
Braves at Mets this evening.
Yes. It was not a pretty trip to Atlanta. Just like a lot of previous nightmares that the Predators, the Mets have had there. But it's a new day. Let's go.
615-737-1025. There was a gigantic trade in the NBA over the weekend. Well, it was reported that there's going to be a trade. It cannot be finalized, but we all know it's going to happen. And I have a question about Kevin Durant. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was reading all of the coverage of the trade, Kevin Durant going from the Suns to the Rockets. And I want to ask all of you and Willie and Derek this question. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.